All right. Well, thanks for coming today. Good to see y'all. Good to be together. We'll be finishing our service today by sharing the Lord's table, and we'll get to that. I'll let you know what we'll do when we do. But good to be with you. Thanks for coming. Most of you are familiar with the different video streaming platforms that are out there, and you know, Netflix and Prime and. Oh, by the way, I forgot to announce our podcast. Yeah, just maybe we have a new podcast coming out, you know what I mean? And called Outside the Sanctuary. Bill Merck and I have launched it, but there's going to be other guests from the church on it. And it launches this week, okay? And it'll be on, it's out, it's going to, you know, Apple, Spotify, Google, all of them. But Outside the Sanctuary. And obviously, it's him and I talking, not about necessarily things here, but a lot of things that happen in church life, but in our lives in Maple Shade. Anyhow, back to where I was in my sermon, but one of the things that we watch is Prime, and Prime Video, whatever, and, you know, they'll tell you, I guess they know what you watch, not I guess, of course they do, they know everything. And they will recommend to you what show to watch. So we watch a lot of crime dramas, and we watch, British mysteries and this and that. And so it came up this week for me. We recommend this movie for you. 2011 movie called Kill the Irishman. And I kind of thought, well, I'm Irish. I'm not sure if that's why. But I looked. It was built on the life of Danny Green. I never heard of Danny Green. I don't know how many of you did, but I figured I better Google it and see what is it, you know. And I did. I Googled about Danny. And in the 1970s, Danny Green was this tough Irishman in Cleveland, and he was in a battle with the mafia for who was going to control some of the organized crime in Cleveland. And all I know is when I was watching the trailer, things were blowing up everywhere. You know what I mean? And as I looked into his life and investigated, I understand why. They called Cleveland back then Bomb City, because in a little over a year's time, imagine this happening, a little over a year's time, 36 bombs went off in Cleveland, killing 30 people. They blew up houses, they blew up motorhomes, they put bombs in mailboxes to blow up when the people got their mail, threw bombs in people's car windows, they put them underneath their hood, they put them in the trunk, they put bombs in the car next to your car so that the guy would check his car and he thinks it's okay, and then the other car. I mean, it was just amazing, right? You have a problem, here's a bomb, right? And in life, sometimes we may say, boy, that would be an easy solution. But one thing I recognized from what I read, obviously, the life of Danny Green looked nothing like the life of Jesus Christ. And if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm supposed to look more like Jesus than Danny Green. Although my human nature may say, man, that'd be nice to get rid of your opponents. I'm a follower of Jesus now. Jesus Christ lives in me. I deserved hell, and Jesus died in my place. And now that I've been born again, he lives in me. And so I'm supposed to look different. We're going to look at 2 Samuel today. We've been studying about David, and we've reached a passage where we're going to see David having just dealt with numerous difficult people. The temptation is to strike back at them. Listen, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. In school hallways, in neighborhoods, on social media, we have a lot of people on polar sides who just want to obliterate each other. Opposition, you just try and wipe them out, right? We have to be serious with our Christian faith. If I'm a child of God, I have to deal with opposition differently than Danny Green does, right? Than the world might. And we want to ask the Lord to help us see what that means today. So I'm going to pray. Lord God Almighty, I believe you're here. I believe you know every life in every single pew in this church. You know the difficult people they're facing. You know their pain, their anger, their frustration. But you also know that you are the one who took all of their worst on yourself, and you went to the cross, paid the price to forgive us. So we want you to bring your life into ours through this scripture today, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, where we've reached in our context in 2 Samuel, we're in chapter 16. And if you've been with us, David, his son Absalom, has rebelled and wants to take over the kingdom. So last week we saw David flee with people from the capital, and he and his followers, they go through the wilderness, and they eventually arrive right by the banks of the Jordan River. We read that in chapter 16 and verse 14. The king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. Now, I believe a lot of that is a physical refreshment. They were tired. They've been running. They got there. Whew, we finally get to get a little bit of rest. Listen, you need physical refreshment. There's nobody in here that can just keep going, 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 and going, right? But I also believe there's something about it that I think that David is able to be refreshed in his heart because he sees God's hand in all of it. So we're going to see David almost like sitting there looking back, right? Maybe you've just been through an episode and you're getting a breather and you're going, wow, so-and-so did this, and then this person came along. David's going to see different faces. But I think with each of them, he's going to see the face of God. And it's going to refresh him. I think all of us would agree, dealing with difficult people is not refreshing. But somehow, I believe, David's going to show us we can find refreshment if we have God's face, number one, forefront. So let's look at what he deals with, right? How can we be different? How can we find refreshment with Jesus? The first life that he deals with, the first face, is the face of a foe, right? Friend or foe, foe being your enemy. David knows exactly who has set themselves up as his greatest enemy, and that is his son Absalom. His son Absalom has said, I'm coming to take the kingdom from you, Dad. And he has set himself up there. We're going to be seeing David deal with a guy named Shimei. But when we see him dealing with him, we'll get to it in a couple moments. What comes out is the biggest foe in David's mind. In chapter 16 and verse 11, David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. We're going to see his friends are saying, hey, this guy's after us. And David says, him, my own son is breaking my heart. My own son is coming after me. Last week, I kind of talked about Fiddler on the Roof and Anatevka, you know, leaving the palace. If you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, there's a famous song in there, right? Sunrise, sunset, is this the little boy I carried, right? Is this the little girl I play? And it's I've sung it at weddings, you know what I mean? And that sense of, in this moment, David's saying, yeah, this is my little boy. I mean, I remember him when he played, I don't know if they had G.I. Joes back in Israel 2,000 years ago, but I can remember him just playing in the sandbox. You know, and in other words, my greatest pain is coming to me from my family. There's a big difference. Right? Remember when David went out against Goliath? Ah, he didn't know Goliath. Somebody comes up to you and, you know, I don't know, I don't care. Give me the sling, man. Give me the stone. Let me put one right in the head. I'll take him down. It's different when it's family. I played a lot of sports growing up. I never was offended when the opposing team's cheerleaders cheered against me. Never. I never said, oh, you hurt my feelings. They're supposed to be against me. They're the opposing team's cheerleaders, right? Well, that's different when somebody's against you that you expect to be against you, as opposed here to family. David doesn't want this battle. Absalom wants this battle. And by leaving Jerusalem, yes, David is leaving Jerusalem to save lives. He knows if I stay here, there's going to be a lot of lives lost. But he's also leaving Jerusalem, I think, making a point to Absalom. I think he's living out a verse that Joshua lived out. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua said what back then? If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, you do what you're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. I think David is showing to Absalom, you may be making me, you may be saying, David, I'm your biggest foe, but I'm not going to make you my foe. You could go ahead and whip up all the anger you want toward me. I'm not going to treat you back the same way. I'm leaving. I'm leaving the scene, right? Because it's not worth it. I remember when I was in seventh grade, across the street, all PH, and I liked a girl, and she was my girlfriend. We didn't talk much, but we were going out, and I know some of your parents are like, don't say that. I tell my kids they can't date. We weren't really dating. It was just, do you want to go out with me? Yeah, I'll go out with you. All right, great, good. And we didn't go anywhere except school. But anyhow, she was my girlfriend. Everybody knew it. And this new guy came into school. And somebody said to me, oh, Vince, man, so-and-so, this new kid, he likes your girlfriend. And I went up to him. Hey, you and me, after school, out in the school. I know he wasn't intimidated. I would think I was 4'6" at the moment or whatever. But he didn't show. I'm not going to fight you. And you know what? He became one of my best friends. We ended up being at Baptist High School together. He ended up in our youth group. He became one of my best friends. Because what? He said, no, you want to fight me? I ain't fighting you. No, it's not going to happen. And he walked away. David says, go ahead. You make me your foe, but I'm not going to make you mine. We can do that with Jesus living in us. Every person who comes up to you and says, oh, man, doesn't mean you have to, well, I got to show that I'm not a chicken. You say, look, you make me your enemy. I'm not going to make you my enemy. Jesus said, love your enemies. It's not easy. I know that. And Jesus said, sometimes they're going to be your enemy because of your faith in me. In John chapter 15, I want you to know, Jesus is very honest with us, everybody. He doesn't say, if you follow me and you get baptized and you're a Christian, everybody in the world's going to say, wow, I love that person. No. Verse 20, Jesus said, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. There are going to be some people who don't like you just because they don't like Jesus. And you have to decide, am I going to be like Joshua? Am I going to be like David and say, you may want to end our friendship. You may want to be against me because I'm for Jesus. But I'm not walking away from Jesus, and I'm not walking away from you either. I'm going to stick with Jesus, and I'm going to continue to offer you friendship even though you're rejecting mine. Listen, the important thing is this. Too many people get angry. As a matter of fact, it's very tempting even for Christians in the world to get angry at non-Christians who are not living like Christ said to live. Why would I expect somebody who doesn't follow Jesus to want to live the way Jesus told them to live? And so when there's a lost person who's living in a sinful way and promoting it, I might say, wow, Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus, that's not what, but they can't become my enemy. I can't treat them with anger And the problem comes when Christians start looking at those in the world and all of a sudden they're the opposition. Man, oh, you see that person, what they were saying. They were making fun of Jesus. Let me just picture putting a stone right in the middle of their head. Oh, man, the sling like David and Goliath. Oh, let me toss a bomb their way. That's not what Jesus is like. It's what's happening inside our heart. We have to be different. We choose the Lord. We choose love. Sometimes someone may be against you and you don't even know why. Again, I'm not talking about on a basketball court because they're on the other team. I'm talking about you meet somebody in life and you're saying to your friends, I don't think I ever met them. I don't know I ever did to them, but they don't like me. And who knows? Sometimes it's somebody who you had a relationship with, and now they've turned away from you. And that's the second word. Sometimes it's the face of a foe. Sometimes it's being forsaken. Being forsaken. That happens to David. If you remember, the trip from Jerusalem out to the river goes through chapter 15 and 16. So if you look back at chapter 15 and verse 31, we read, "Now someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." Ahithophel was David's closest advisor. Whatever relationships in your life, right? Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your best friends, he was in that circle with David. And now, what has Ahithophel done? He's abandoned David, turned his back on him, and he's formed a new allegiance with Absalom, who is David's foe. Listen, there's going to be relationship changes in life. They just happen. Andy Reid used to be on our sideline. Now he's on the other sideline, you know. But what I mean, sometimes you take a new job. Sometimes you transfer to a new school. Sometimes you just get older. And relationships drift. There's a big difference between that and being willfully forsaken. Absalom abandons David in David's time of need. He turns his back on him, and it hurts. And I'm telling you, inside of me is the temptation when hurt like that to just say, I just want to enjoy for a moment. Thinking about hitting them in the head with a rock, right? Like David's sling. But that's not the way to respond. I can't. That's not Jesus. It can be hard. You get fixated, right? On what are they saying to other people that they've now that they've forsaken me? Picture David. This was Ahithophel. Now, what's Ahithophel telling everybody else? Is he telling all the things that David shared with him in private? Is he telling this? Is he lying? Is he twisting the story? We all have those experiences, or if you haven't, you might someday, right? If you've never been forsaken. I know in ministry, there have been times where people that I've ministered side by side with, and I don't mean staff necessarily, I mean just in ministry, that have left the church and somebody will come to me later and say, yeah, they were really hurt that you did. I didn't know. I had no idea that that's why they left, because they were disappointed with me in some area. And if the Lord allows me and I can, you know, reach out. But sometimes it'll be that somebody comes to me and somebody had left maybe in, you know, conflict or this or that. And somebody comes and they're telling me what happened. And I'm saying to them, I'm not going to go into the details with you, but the story you've been told is not the true story. How you're saying that unfolded is not how it unfolded, and how that person tells you they acted is not the way they acted, and that's all I'm going to say. But the temptation is what? The temptation as a human being is, and by the way, who else have they told, right? And now I got to chase it down. I want to chase it. Who heard something wrong about me? Who heard this rumor? Who heard? I'm telling you, you can't. If you spend your life trying to chase down every bit of misinformation being shared about you, you're going to have a tough, tough time, right? And David doesn't. David doesn't try and chase it down. What does David do? In verse 31, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. David said, O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. What does David say? Lord, I can't chase down what everybody's heard about me. You remember we tried to do that with COVID? Oh, you got COVID. Where were you? I was at a party with 12 people. All right, give us all 12 people's names. Oh, where were you? 40 people? We got to contact all 40 of those people. And we realized you might have been with 100 people and you got COVID from the gas station guy. You know, you can't. That's what it's like if you're trying to chase down what does everyone think about me? What has anybody been told about me that's not correct? David says, Lord, I know he's over there saying all sorts of things. I'm going to trust you to make his words lose any sting, right? Wipe it away. Listen, I said last week in James chapter 4, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Somebody comes to me and says, I have to have the humility to say, you know what, I failed in that area. I need to ask their forgiveness or reconcile. But when it comes to the fact that misinformation is being spread about you, lies, untruth, you can't be all tied up that I gotta chase down every part of it. You gotta be able to say, Lord, you know the truth. You deal with it. There's a third one. I better keep moving. And that's what? It's fraud. The face of a foe, the face of forsaken, the face of fraud. Fraud is the attempt to deceive others for your gain. Happening all the time around us, right? I mean, we're just, you're, no doubt you're getting messages from your whoever holds your accounts. Be careful for cyber attacks. Listen, don't ever click on something because you feel pressured. I almost feel like I should give out a public service announcement, right? The federal government is never going to tell you, you got to go buy a $500 gift card and give us the code off the back. Don't be pressured. You know, call somebody who you trust and say, this is what I was told. And what, you know, because there's fraud all around us. But it's not that hard to deal with when I say, or be alert to it when it's financial. You check your accounts. You get alerts. You get notifications, right? Hey, somebody just used your credit card. You look at your online banking. Whoa, I didn't do that. It's very different when it comes to relationships. With finances, it's there on paper. With relationships, it's not always easy to know who's the fraudster, right? Who's coming into your life? And David misses one. Probably more than one, but in chapter 16, verse 1, now when David had passed a little beyond the summit, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins. Ziba comes out, and he's got all this supplies for David's men. Wow, what a great person. What a gift, this new friend I have in my life. And Ziba says, Ziba's master was Mephibosheth, and David had been kind to him. Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul, the former king. And David says, where's Mephibosheth, your master? And Ziba says, oh no, he didn't want to help you. I wanted to help you. He is staying back there, hoping that when Absalom gets there, you'll get killed, and then the kingdom will go back to Saul, and he'll be the king. And David says, what? I give you all of his possessions. Problem is, Ziba's a fraud. What he has said is untrue. He has deceived David for his own gain. David's going to find out in chapter 19 that Mephibosheth never said any of those things. It was Ziba who said, you stay here, let me take this stuff out to David. And boy, it's a reminder to us, right, that what does David fail to do? He fails to verify. Fails to verify. Hey, did you hear such and such? I'm grateful that I had a dad who would say to me, did you see it? Well, no, but so, were you there? No, but then you don't know if that happened. But dad, so-and-so told me, okay. So then you should say, so-and-so told me that this happened. And my dad hammered that, I think the rest of you, our family, so that we wouldn't be the ones that are passing on false rumors, fake news. Have I probably failed at times? Oh, sure. Listen, fake news isn't just a possession of the political left and right. They both own it. But it's not just in the political world. Fake news is in the church. It's wherever there's all sorts of people that hear something and never verify it. And whip up fear and anger and opposition. And David never verifies it. Later in Psalm 101, David says, I will never let someone slander people in front of my midst. I will not have anybody with me who lies. Great principles, but he didn't take the time to apply them here. And so he makes a decision against Mephibosheth, and it's built on untruth. Listen, you're not God. It's not a scripture verse, but it is a song from 1972, which is true. And the singer, if those of you around remember it, says, dig this. Everybody plays the fool. Sometimes, those of you, anybody, there's no exception to the rule, right? It may be factual, it may be cruel. Everybody at times is gonna get duped. You're gonna have somebody tell you, I love you and I'll never leave you. And next week, they're gone. You're going to have somebody who sneaks in for false gain. You're not God. Fraud. What do? We say, okay, Lord, what was that verse we said earlier today? Let them fall in their own net, Lord. You snatch me out of their net. I'm trusting you, God. I'm seeing your face. David didn't see Ziba coming, but he sure saw Shimei coming. That's the fourth thing. And it's face. And you may say, face? I thought we said the face of a foe, the face of a forsaken, the face of a fraud, the face of a face? Yes. This is when people get in your face, right? Because that's what happens to David. He has somebody that gets right in his face. You know, they're in your face. They're trash talking right in front of you. You can feel the spit, right? Literally here with David, right? Because what do we read in chapter 16, verse 5? When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out from there a man of the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei. He came out cursing continually as he came. Now, this isn't like an American cursing, like he's laying out all these big profane four-letter words. This is, he's saying, I curse you, David. I call God to curse you. I call the cursings of heaven upon you. That kind of thing. He threw stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. Thus Shimei said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom, and behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. He's cursing David. The problem is all of his public accusations are untrue. They're untrue. David did not take the kingdom from Saul. God took the kingdom from Saul, and he gave it to David. God has not given the kingdom to Absalom. God has told David, it's still your kingdom. In other words, everything that he's yelling is not true. Now, Shimei may think it's true. And that's one of the problems of dealing with, right, fraud or in our world of information. Well, I thought it was true. The reason I threw a bomb in his car and hit him with a stone in the forehead was I thought it was true. Well, what happens when you find out it wasn't? You've destroyed a relationship. And so that sense of what David has this guy in his face. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not promoting that if you're in an abusive relationship, you need to just stay in there and take the abuse. Not at all. I have always said, if you're in an abusive relationship, you need to come apart. Like, don't let someone use scripture to tell you that you're their doormat and you need to take it, right? There's plenty of scripture about being wise and protecting this temple that God has given you. But what I'm talking about here is it's David has this man in his face cursing him and coming at him. How's he going to handle it? Well, his servant Abishai knows how to handle it. Verse 9, we're near the end here. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut his head off. right? David, forget about the bombs and forget about the stone and the slings. Let me just cut his head off. You know what's fascinating? This guy Abishai, he's the same guy back in 1 Samuel when Saul was trying to kill David, but David said, even though you're trying to kill me, I'm not going to do the same thing to you. And David came upon Saul and he could have killed him. And somebody says to him, kill him if you don't tell me to. You know who it is? It's the same guy. This is Abishai. This is Danny Green. This is the guy that's saying, I got plenty more bombs, man. Who else wants one, right? You know, he just, that's the way I'm going to handle my problems. What does David say? Verse 10, what do I need to do with you guys? If he's cursing me, if the Lord wants him to, let him curse me. Leave him alone. You know, I think there's a scripture verse that Jesus says to us in John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I've said, somebody could be in my face saying, you're an idiot for believing in Jesus. Ah, you moron. Okay. I believe in Jesus. Go ahead. If that's the best you got, right? And we know in our world it's not. We know in some parts of our world, Christians are being put to death. Christians are being thrown in prison in different places in the world. But my point is to be able to say, okay, you're in my face, but I'm free from it. I don't have to have my pride say, oh, you got in my face. Well, I got to. You're in my face. Then that's, I'm free to keep from responding. What is David say in verse 12, and it's the last thing we see, foremost, when you're dealing with a foe, when you're dealing being with forsaken, when you're dealing with fraud, when somebody's in your face, keep your eyes on the one God who needs to be foremost, foremost. Look at verse 12, perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day, right? What's he say? He says what Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, hey, you know what? You can face difficult people, and if you keep your eyes on me, it can be refreshing. Say, what? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Right? You want to be my foe? You want to forsake me? You want to try and be fraudulent to me? You want to get in my face? Here's what I know. Jesus said, hey, Vince, I've come to live in you, and I've set you free from having to respond with a stone and a sling. I've given you the ability to love your enemies. I've given you the ability to walk away. I've given you the ability to not hit back. I've given you the ability. Foremost, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Listen, there's a lot of relationships in life that can intimidate you, they can hurt you. There's only one relationship when you breathe your last breath that can welcome you into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, is his voice going to mean more to you than that other person? That other person has no say over where you're going to spend eternity. Only Jesus does. Jesus says, come unto me. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. Maybe that's you today. Maybe right now you want to just in your own heart say, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess my sin. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. And I put all my trust in Jesus. Save me, God. Open up heaven's doors for me. Make me your child. Come live in my life, Jesus. He will.